Yeah, eh. Hello. Welcome to my podcast. I've been thinking of different ways of how to start this podcast off. And I wanted to dive deep into understanding an Indigenous perspective from a Dene woman and the way I understand life. And so through that, understanding self-determination and coming into this podcast, identity is a big part. And so I wanted to start with that. And that's where we start usually as Indigenous people, tribal people, Indian people, whatever language you prefer. For myself, I am Dene. And that's how I will be identifying myself. As a Dene woman, it's my responsibility to know where my sense of place is. And for Dene people, identity is a very important part of our teachings. It not only connects us to our families, it helps us to make new connections to relatives. It helps us create a community. And it's one of our values of how we understand life. And it's one of the vital parts of us that makes our identity unique. So, Yat e she'e ya yol kahlista nanaba gorman winshe. But anhinishle, ado no da anakaidine abashishin, hushk anzo dashachet origini dashanale. Today I will be talking about identity and how that plays a big part in self-determination. We all have unique identities. For Dene people, we use ke as one of our norms for clan systems. And part of this comes from the understanding of a community-based knowledge. My clan's Bit'ani is under his cover clan. No Da'ana Kaidine'e is the Ute Mexican clan. That clan comes from my father. My first clan comes from my mother. And that's how I'm represented. My third clan is Torich'itni, which is the Bitterwater clan. And then Hushk'anadzoz is from my Che, which is my mother's grandpa. And so just looking at the way our clan systems are set up, they come in fours. And so they represent me. They represent who I came from, my mother and my father. And then they represent my grandfathers from my mom and my dad. And that's how I make relatives. So when we're looking at the unique identity, this is all thought of when it comes to making a life. As Dene people, we have very diverse way of understanding the world and how it involves distinct disciplines and how we attain our knowledge. And our knowledge covers different areas of life. And a lot of these can be found within our language, our songs, our creation stories, and different ways even through lived experience. And some of these teachings are taught through our inherent rites. So for myself, my clan systems, the clans that I carry, those all have a story to it, an inherent right that belongs to those stories. And even deeper than that, place-based knowledge to those clan systems. So all of this is attained through experience. And for myself, it was a big priority that my mother and my father told me that I needed to know my clans. And my understanding of this is understanding my identity, understanding my relation to everything. So, a lot of these clans, sometimes they have place names, they have the way the people lived in those areas, that's what they were named, or what people or language they spoke. And so that's how we identify certain things. And that creates a unique identity within itself. So going into the topic of identity, a lot of identity that comes with this perspective of being Diné means that you understand life. And part of understanding life is understanding values, how we make relatives, when we have a spouse, or the relationships that we have with our children and our surrounding areas. All of these things are a way of life and understanding the impacts that it has on our life. So when we look at the distinct differences between values, coming from an Indigenous perspective, when we look at the way American thought is and the way of life, how things are so fast-paced and, you know, it contradicts my perspective as a Diné woman a lot of times. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but, you know, there are distinct differences that impact our way of life. For one, looking at my history of clan systems and the way life was taught, even just from my mother and my father's generation to my generation, the differences between how ke is modeled, the relationship portion. Through that, we lost a lot of our identity. As I grew up, I grew up with a mother and a father, and raised in a traditional home, a hogan, without electricity and running water. For myself, learning my identity in a place like that, it was very undisturbed, but I also got to learn a lot about my environment. Learning Navajo as my first language, learning how to sing, and then modeling a lot of what my parents taught me as far as values go. And then as I went to school, more and more I started seeing the impacts of colonization, the interactions that I had, and then adaptation. I learned English, and throughout my life, there's one thing that I was always told is that I'm lucky that I know my language, or that I know my culture, and that I'm connected for my identity, all of that didn't come easy, learning about who I was and the type of responsibility that I was to carry. So looking at how Diné people model their way of life and understanding of this world, it involves a lot of discipline. It involves a lot of accountability and responsibility to what you're taught. And so that's how I was taught. When I was growing up, my mom and dad always said, "We made you with a thought." And I never understood that until I got older. And part of that goes back to what I was talking about between the generations of my mom and dad versus my generation now, and then generations after me, and how they understand their relationship to one another. And this has a lot to do with the impacts of colonization and how fast-paced everything is. You know, when I look at my mom and dad, they met in a community college, and they knew they wanted to be together. In this day and age, there's a lot of accessibility, yeah? And I see that going on Facebook or all these different apps on your phone. So that difference between the relationships that people have. From my perspective, we've lost a lot of respect for life. Respect for making life. And part of that goes into how babies are brought into this world, how much thought is put into them from the beginning. So, looking at identity as that piece of source. Is one of the main parts of identity. As a mother, I have 2 children right now. And the more I learn about my children, the more I'm learning about how to conduct myself and learning how to be and model these values of as a Diné woman. I was taught that when you're looking at children, you're not only looking at a life, you're either looking at an extension of yourself, an extension of someone else. And that goes into how every single person in this world has a unique history, unique DNA, and then that connection to ancestors. For myself, as I understand it, and a lot of Indigenous people, that means the resiliency that we had to face throughout history in order to survive and continue these teachings that are unique. So there's a lot that goes with identity. In your identity, there is a perspective of what you're taught from your parents, what they pass down to you. When we're looking at someone such as myself, my mom and dad were very hardworking. I grew up in a home where We didn't have a lot of money like other people around us. And for myself, I was never taught that money was important. That enjoying myself and learning was what was most important to me. Learning how to be a good person. And I learned that through what my mom and dad told me about our history, dating back to my great-great-great-grandma, who came from the Utes, and then she was taken down towards Mexico. She escaped and then she came back up. And when she came back up, then she was taken all the way to Bosque Redondo on the Long Walk in 1864. Along the way, you know, she lost a lot of relatives. She lost a lot of people that were close to her. For myself, I think about that as a part of my identity, a piece of me that holds that strength of her resilience. And that piece of identity and understanding the story, it brings me a lot of teachings. Just kind of thinking about her journey. And thinking about that journey, what type of teaching she had. In my family, we're taught that you can't change the past. When you are busy dwelling on the past, life is happening. And all you can do is pray about it and keep going. And so thinking about that resiliency piece, being here now in the present, learning and helping others find that piece of identity to themselves. That was my whole reason for starting a podcast. And I wanted to let everyone know that every person is unique. Every person has a unique DNA and a connection to ancestors. A lot of people that I come across are still trying to find that, to find that connection. And that's important. That's important to different parts of the areas in your life. So, the impacts of colonization and, you know, the severed teachings of K'e, our relationships. Somehow we have to get back to that understanding. Having compassion for life, thinking about life. And so how do we do that? How do we model that? What are the values that we should be following? When I think about it, I think about ethnocentric values. And what does that mean? Ethnocentric means that there's different types of ethnicities in this world. Each one of them have a different perspective, and they represent a different ethnicity and way of life. So when we're talking about ethnocentric values or ethnocentric ethics, we're looking at traditional teachings tied to a community that connects us to a way of life. As a Diné woman, my understanding of this is connected to my traditional teachings, my quality of life, the level of wellness that I have. And that goes hand in hand with happiness, and then how to sustain that. So, looking at this thought process, it's very multidimensional when you're looking at identity. Identity on so many levels for different people. That comes with history, that comes with your genealogy, and those two are two different things. So genealogy is mapping out the people that you come from or that came before you and how you're connected to them. The history is the story of how you came here. So what stories come with those people? And looking at identity for names. And that's a big part of identity. For myself, my name, Yolkalista. In Navajo, that's the morning star. And so looking at that thought and modeling that way of life of the morning star, bringing light to things that are in the shadows, and then learning how to master that. It's a big part of identity, is mastering who you are as a person, mastering what name you have been given. As Diné people, our names are really put into perspective. And sometimes we carry the names of different ancestors that came before us, or people that are important. And so looking at that factor of identity, that helps you lead a better way of life. Or maybe if you have a name that hasn't yet made history or anything like that, think of this chance as your accountability to make that name something as a part of your identity. So, I think that a lot of Indigenous people, or people in general, that are trying to find a way of life or to connect, a lot of this can be attained through understanding who you are. And that can come from an Indigenous perspective, or, you know, more modern way of thinking. One of my favorite authors is Carl Jung. And as a young scholar, I remember taking a personality test in middle school. And one thing that worried me about that is that I was labeled as an INTJ-A. And what that means is introverted, intuitive, thinking, and judgment. And then the dash A meant assertive. So I looked at that and I read a lot of my personality type. I connected a lot with it, but maybe it's because I really enjoyed reading about the Myers-Briggs and how it was created, and then Carl Jung's archetypes, and then his perspective on how different factors play a part in creating someone and the way they are in their personality type. So when we're looking at that perspective, you know, a lot of it has to, it comes down to where you learned how to be. And a lot of my life was taught with very strict structure, having discipline, and my parents wanting me to strive to live a good life and accomplish my goals. So for myself, I sang a lot. I love to sing, still love to sing. I compose songs, and I really enjoy talking to big audiences. So that played a big part of my identity and how I grew, and overcoming fear of talking to large crowds of people. And part of that, you know, identity is that my mother and my father saying, maybe one of these days you'll become a leader. But to also do that in becoming a leader, I come to find that being a leader means that you have to have a strong way of life that you follow. And it takes time to master that. In Dineh teachings, we call that way of life, which is a way of life where we're walking in beauty. We're learning to achieve this through language and ceremony, and holding ourselves accountable to learn those things. And it doesn't just take a couple months. It's something that you have to master throughout your whole life. And it kind of reminds me of this book that I read a long time ago, The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. And he talks about the Four Agreements. And what he says in there is the first thing is be impeccable with your words. So kind of looking at that as a value of what it means to live a good life. When you're careful with your words and you know the power and strength of words, then you understand your accountability and how much power that you have. And each one of us should think like that. especially when it comes to relationships. And then that pertaining to what is our identity when it comes to words? How does that define us? Kind of looking at that thought process of the Four Agreements. If you haven't read it, go pick up the book, Four Agreements. It's not that expensive. But him and Carl Jung are some of my favorite authors. And then Vine DeLoria, of course. But looking at living a good way of life and going back to learning that as a part of your identity. Hajon means living a beautiful life or being in that element of using these tools, language, ceremony, cultural practices, your connection to the land, that sense of place that you have. And then living a sustainable life of how that affects the community. These are all important parts of identity. And as I learned through my life, identity for myself on an individual basis also connects back to my parents and how I model these values and how I conduct myself within my identity and how that models what they taught me. And so holding myself accountable with these teachings, it's the application of these teachings with these values and understanding how important identity is that has brought me to a life of doing my best to model every single day. And so one of the things that my dad told me in ceremony before was, we're all born into this world. We are all a part of this life and creation. Understanding that we only live for some time. And dwelling on the past doesn't make anything better. Living in the present, healing from those things in the past is better. And that can be a part of your identity and your growth. And then looking at, you know, the future, there's a lot of people who try to prepare for the future and they worry about the future a lot. You know, Navajo teachings, we're told not to stress about the future. Stress isn't good for us anyway. And so, only thing we can do is continue living a good life as we are in the present right now. Master yourself when you look at yourself as your own creation. Take time to really master who you are. And learn about your history, where you came from. That's a big part of who you are. So, looking at identity from this standpoint, I feel that there will be a lot of roller coasters in finding out who you are. And it's not that easy. But within your identity and finding your identity, look for ways of wellness too. How you heal those parts of yourself. So I think that's it for now. I will post another one going into norms and what it means to have ethnocentric values and ethnocentric ethics that we can all understand, and how that plays a big part in our identity. I hope you enjoyed this podcast or this episode, and I look forward to sharing more with you. I will be posting every Saturday, so I'll see you next Saturday. Thank you. Bye.